Look, Keiko, thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you to the Foundation for the invitation to speak. Perhaps I should, as I'm probably less high profile than your other speakers, introduce myself and my role. And it was kind of the Minister to say that one of the jobs that I did at the end of February into March last year was take some of the asks from the Oxford team, carry the messages of the need for money to government and make the case very much on their behalf. And I think Sarah described her bid once as a radioactive bid for £2 million, and Sandy Douglas was asking for £400,000 for scale up. And one of the things I was doing in the conversation that Nadeem Zahawi talks about there was explaining that these are absolutely vital steps and vital, very small amounts of money in the grand scheme of what the government was spending, carrying them to government, and they needed to get on with it quick. So that was my small part at the beginning of last year. As a result of that, I was at the heart of putting together a consortium of BIA member companies who stepped up to support Sarah's team and Sandy and Kath's team at Oxford in the manufacture of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine as it became. And BIA members are at the heart, as the Minister explained, of the manufacturing supply chain for this country and now the world for this fantastic vaccine. My day job running the Trade Association means that I've been involved in life science industrial strategies or sector visions for the best part of a decade. I think that what I'm hopeful to do is to take a step back and look back on what we've learned from last year and compare them with where we're going. And I'm probably more of a salesman than Sarah is. So Sarah, I have got your book and I will plug it. If you're reading on the beach this summer, it's fantastic. Do read the Vaxxers book by Sarah and her colleague, Dr. Catherine Green. It explains the inside story of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine and the race against the virus. And what I was really delighted about your comments today, Sarah, was that you talked about the centrality and the importance of manufacturing, because I think three things are vital that I've learned from this period of time. It's not just about being able to invent amazing things, it's being able to scale them and turn them into industrial capability that's vital in UK life sciences, and manufacturing is at the heart of that. The Minister talked about doing things fast and pace. I think pace is absolutely vital for doing things. And I think some of the challenges and some of the lessons are about how do we do things very, very fast. And the other thing that we haven't talked about so much, but I think is also important, is being able to do things at risk. And Sarah talks in her book about doing things at risk and doing things before the paperwork was all signed off. And I think that is an absolutely vital component that many people were working at risk across many parts of the vaccine program through last year. As a result of the work I did in the early part of the year, I was asked to sit on the vaccine task force with Kate Bingham and was on the steering board of the vaccine task force. So I saw some of that. And I think there's some other elements to the vaccine task force which will have a long-term legacy. One is, as Sarah's talked about, the ability to develop at pace and scale vaccines against novel pathogens. I think also we've done an amazing thing in terms of organising clinical trial networks so as to be able to look at things like the recovery trial, to be able to work out how we open our medicines cabinet effectively at pace to get data that's meaningful for the globe. So I think that's another element of the thinking that we should look at. And also we've done some amazing innovation in this country around the functional use of genomic data to both understand a novel disease. Obviously, you know, Sarah started, but she had the genomic information to be able to design the vaccine, but getting that loop right between how we get information out, the use of genomics, and get it back into the discovery scene, I think is really, really, really one of the other learnings that I'll take away from this time, and I think we've got it well. A couple of thoughts, if I may, that might provoke some discussion. The UK has been vaccinated largely by the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, but of course the other vaccines that have done a lot of the heavy lifting are Pfizer, BioNTech. Those of us with long memories will remember that some years ago, Pfizer endeavoured to buy AstraZeneca. If that merger had happened, would we have had both of these different vaccines being developed to industrial scale? I think it's a serious question. I doubt it is the answer. I think thinking about a diversity of industrial players who can be in a space and what we need to do to keep a diversity of globally relevant companies at scale in areas of significant health need are important factors to think of. And there's some bleed across here to some of the discussions we have on AMR. So industrial diversity at global scale is an important thing I think we need to consider. A few factors that I think underpin some of the success, and then I'll finish. I think that where we've had success in the UK, we've had long-term institutions with research focus in the area. So if you think about Sarah's work at the Jenner, I think of the Jenner Institute as being absolutely vital, and actually not a very old institute, actually quite recent in its coming together in its present formation, but that as an institute and its focus has been very, very important in vaccines. The Sanger and the work done there on genomics, again, is another relatively within my lifetime organisation that's made a real difference. And the decade of investment under Dame Sally Davis in the NIHR, which actually underpinned the work that was able to be done in recovery trial and our clinical trial capability, means that it's been longish term investment with a focus in fundamental areas that have been the thing that we've been able to build on. I think if you add to that the fact that networked ecosystems matter, if you've got experts with high trust levels who've worked together before, and I think Kath brings this out in the book very clearly with the trusted relationship she had working with Paul and others in the life science, UK life science ecosystem to be able to scale rapidly. We didn't have VMIC, it's still not built and it's still not manufacturing. So we had to go with what we could go with. And I think, you know, having diversity in that base with companies stepping forward and themselves taking risk is really, really important. Speed I've talked of is vital, and accepting and carrying risk is vital. The state has supported industrial strategy in life science, and I think where we've had industrial strategy championed by David Willetts many years ago, we have been able to then pull on that investment to be able to divert from perhaps the central thing they were doing. If you think about Oxford Biomedica as a company doing cell and gene therapy, they have been able to re-roll into something slightly different at pace and scale with transferable skills and people. And it's often about people and networks that I think is the most important thing we need to take away from this. Having that and helping government understand that as they think through is going to be the key thing going forward. With that, Lord KKR, I'll hand back to you, and I look forward to the discussion.